Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, thank you again for allowing me to fill in for you tonight. I cannot tell you what an honor and an opportunity this is. Congratulations on your book. It is an absolute gem for all of you out there. Please go and buy and read Trickle Down Tyranny. It is one of the best political books on Obama that you can find anywhere. I reviewed it in the Washington Times. I thought it was absolutely magnificent. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com. For the latest must-read stories, sizzling stories, you cannot find anywhere else. And if you are to look at some of the stories on michaelsavage.com, what is the prevailing theme? What is the prevailing narrative that you see in story after story after story? It is that the United States is slowly but surely becoming a third world country. Members of the Savage Nation, we are becoming a banana republic. That's just a fact. It's a sad fact, but it's a fact. Now, let me give you a couple of examples to illustrate how badly our government has been failing us on every level. On every level. Recently, there was a major storm, a thunderstorm, a 100-mile-long thunderstorm that hit the Washington, D.C. area of where I live. And I explained this to Beowulf, show's executive producer, about a week ago or so ago. I said, you know, I was up in Canada visiting family. We came back down, my wife and child. We're back in the D.C. area. It's Friday. I'm expecting now to, you know, get settled into the weekend and get ready to start working. Within a couple of hours, the heavens opened up. If we were living in biblical times, they would say this is the wrath of God that we have incurred for Obamacare. It was right after the Supreme Court ruling on Obamacare. The rain, it was raining cats and dogs. The rain started to pour down. 80-mile-an-hour winds. Trees are shaking. Within a couple of hours, the power lines are down. There's no power. Massive power outage. Millions of people, millions without power. So within 12 hours, I put my same wife, my same child back in the same car. We take the same highway that we went down right back up to Canada. Why? Because I get a call from the public utility company telling me that we're going to have to leave and evacuate the house because they may not have power restored within a week. They're saying you're looking at 5 to 7 days. 5 to 7 days? No power? With a heat wave engulfing the city? This happened to millions of people. Power lines down, gas stations, there's a shortage. There's a run on gas. There's a run on water. What many in the media didn't report, I saw it with my own eyes, gas stations were being looted and vandalized because of all the blackout. So the criminals came out. And it took us, the modern-day Rome of the Roman Empire, nearly a week to get the basic power, the bloody power back on? Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Now, the question I have for you is a simple one. If the government, if the public utility companies cannot keep the modern-day Rome of the Roman Empire, the capital of the United States of America, running with electrical power because of some major thunderstorm, you think government can run your health care? You think government can run your pensions? You think government can choose which car companies succeed and which don't? You think the government can run the economy, as the Obama regime keeps telling us over and over and over again? They can't even keep the power on. Let me give you another example of how we're becoming like a banana republic. Take the city of Chicago. Everybody's talking about this today. The homicide rate has exploded. It is soaring in the streets of Chicago. I've been to Chicago. I have friends in Chicago. They're dropping like flies. So what did the people of Chicago do? Did they clean up the systemic corruption? Did they clean up the systemic mismanagement? No. It's a one-party regime. It's dominated by the Democrats. And they keep electing one Democratic mayor after another. So who did they put in power this time? The godfather himself, Rahm Deadfish Emanuel. He was a top advisor to the Clintonistas. He was Obama's number one top right-hand man. That's who they put in power. This is the political thug. This is the tough guy of the Chicago machine, the vaunted Chicago political machine that put Obama in power in Washington, D.C. He can't control his own streets. So far this year alone, 263 people have been killed in Chicago. They're averaging 450 to 500 murders a year. 450 to 500 murders a year. That's more than the number of U.S. troops being killed in Afghanistan. Forget the Taliban. Forget Al-Qaeda. The gangbangers in Chicago are killing more Americans than they are. And instead of imposing law and order, instead of investing in a strong, powerful police force, because that's what government is supposed to do. They're supposed to keep the public safe, impose law and order, keep basic social services functioning, things like electricity, things like cops on the street. What does Rahm Emanuel do? He has essentially ceded parts of the city to these gangbangers and violent murderers. And recently, a 7-year-old girl was killed by a stray bullet because she was selling candy outside her home. She's dead. Children are dying. Men and women are dying. They can't control the gangbangers. They can't control the drug dealers. They can't control all of these sadistic criminals that are preying upon the innocent citizens of Chicago. So what does Rahm Deadfish Emanuel do? I kid you not. I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. It is so pathetic, it's almost laughable if it wasn't so tragic. He goes on CBS Evening News. This is Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, the third largest city in America. The biggest metropolitan hub in the entire Midwest. He goes with on Scott Pelley, CBS Evening News, and he grovels. He begs the gangsters of Chicago, I kid you not, if you want to kill each other in a back alley, no problem. Kill each other till the cows come home. Massacre every one of yourselves. But please, please, please leave the children alone. Boys, roll the clip.
You got two gangbangers. One standing next to a kid. Get away from that kid. Take your stuff to the alley. Don't touch the children of the city of Chicago. Don't get near them. And it is about values. As I said then, Scott, who raised you? Where were you raised? And I don't buy this case where people say they don't have values. They do have values. They have the wrong values. Don't come near the kids. Don't touch them.
Don't touch them. Don't come near the kids. Oh, they're, oh, you, Emmanuel, Rahm, you got them there. Oh, Rahm, you, they're going to listen now. What a crime-fighting strategy. Brilliant. Brilliant. Rahm, I never thought of that. You beg them. You beg them. I'm so, you have values. They're just not good values. So if you want to kill each other, that's fine. Go in an alley, settle it, kill each other. Blow each other's brains out. You can hack each other up with a machete. But don't touch the kids. Leave the kids alone. This is pathetic. This is pathetic. Now think of this. Think of this, because this is very important. This man is supposed to be the political tough guy of the Obama administration. Remember, he was Obama's former number one advisor, his top right-hand man. He was the guy that's supposed to be the head cracker, the headbanger. Look how weak he is. Groveling, begging these gangsters. Please, 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 don't kill the kids. And as he begs the gangsters and gangbangers of Chicago, this is what liberalism has come to. It is an ideology of begging, because that's what Obama does. Obama begs the Hitler of our time, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, please don't build nuclear weapons. He begs to Putin, the strongman of Russia, please, please, we'll accommodate you on missile defense. Please, don't be angry with us. He bows and begs to the leaders of China, please keep buying our debt. I'm begging you, buy our debt. As we're going to talk about later, he even begs the new Islamist president of Egypt, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, a man committed to the destruction of Israel and the Jews. Please come to the White House. He invites him. He's going to roll out the red carpet for him in September. The question before the House is a simple one. With the massive evacuation and power outage in Washington, with the massive homicide rate in Chicago, with the decline of American power and prestige around the world, have you lost your faith in government? Do you no longer believe in the institution of government? And for those of you in Washington and in the Washington area, how did you experience this massive power outage? Do you feel powerless? Do you feel government has abandoned and betrayed you? To the people of Chicago, do you feel that Rahm Emanuel has abandoned and betrayed you? Have you lost faith in the government of the United States and in government in general? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Elliot in New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi. You know, Rahm Emanuel does not care about those children. If he did, he would do something. You see, Mr. Giuliani here in New York City was a friend, because he put law and order in their neighborhood and protected them from these thugs. And Rahm Emanuel is not. So if he would care about those children, he would do something for those gangs.
Elliot, you're dead on. You're completely right, and I want to thank you for that call. Look, Rudy Giuliani put 100,000 cops on the street. Rudy Giuliani cracked down on the gangbangers. He basically gave a green light to the cops, and he said, clean up the streets of New York. And he also passed welfare reform. He was, I know they did it on a national level, but he also did it on a local level. And so, to me, if you care about African Americans, this is the argument that Democrats keep saying over and over again. Obama keeps saying it. Rahm Emanuel keeps saying it. Nancy Pelosi keeps saying it. The Congressional Black Caucus keeps saying it. Al Sharpton keeps saying it. The Democrats are the only ones who care about blacks in America. Republicans are the white party, that they only care about whites. Well, if you really care about blacks, how about giving them a safe place so they can play on the streets? How about giving them an ability to go to school in peace and quiet without facing stray bullets? Rahm Emanuel has failed the people of Chicago, and those children are going to continue to get killed unless he starts getting serious about crime and, in particular, putting the cops on the street and locking them up. Jerry in Wisconsin, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Jeff. I'd just like to say I lost faith in the government after Katrina, and that's when my wife and I started planning.
Planning for what?
The government's not going to be there for us, so we're putting in gardens and whatnot. So we got a little orchard. They're not coming to help us.
You mean, in other words, you're going to grow your own food, you're going to rely on yourself instead of the government, God forbid, should something very serious happen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can see it all the time. They're a day late and a dollar short all the time. They're not there for you.
You know, I got to tell you, Jerry, you know you're right. You're completely right. They failed on Katrina. They failed in Washington with the recent storm. They're failing in Chicago. What good are they? That's the question I have. What good is government for anymore for the American people? Jeff Kooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Have you lost confidence and faith in the government? Do you believe it is no longer there for you? I want to hear from you. Frank in Chicago, in Chicagoland. Thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I wanted to comment on what you were saying about the crisis in Chicago. I'm a police officer there, and they've been, the last 3 to 5 months, they've been introducing a quote-unquote new strategy to curb this, and nothing has worked. We have not been told anything. It's an absolute spin. It's a joke. And the people of Chicago, I'm out on the streets every day, so I talk to people. You know, I'm in these neighborhoods. Nobody buys a political spin that every time they say, oh, homicides are up, their response is, oh, but overall crime is down. It's an absolute joke, and nobody's buying it anymore.
Frank, I'm just curious. As a police officer who walks the beat, what do you think should be done that's not being done? Why is Rahm Emanuel and why is the police commissioner, why are they afraid to crack down on these gangbangers? What are they so afraid of?
In my opinion, it's two things. There's a huge manpower shortage, and there's just not enough. They haven't hired anyone. I mean, they say they hired, like, oh, we're hiring 500 people, but it's not even a dent in how short that we actually are on the street. And the second thing is there's no truth in sentencing. I mean, these guys get locked up. We're both judges. These guys are out in less than, 24 hours. They're out back on the streets. They get sentenced to 10 years. They're lucky if they do 4. And they're right back on the streets.
Are you afraid? Do you feel afraid for your life when you're on the streets? Do you feel you're not given enough support? Nobody's watching your back?
My fellow officers are. I mean, I know I can depend on the people that I work with. But, I mean, if there was something huge, like if something, I mean, they won't, it's so bad that we're outnumbered. So there's times we have to actually call and wait for other cars to come before we go into certain areas of the city because we're just that outnumbered. Take, for example, the flash mobs that are running around downtown. I mean, they got guys working overtime just to flood the area downtown. They're saying we're not short guys, but they're paying us overtime to go and work. And this is coming from a city who, you know, who won't squeeze a dime out of anything. You know, I mean, it's just all double talk. You know, and these people are getting, you know, robbed downtown. I mean, they're hitting doctors. They're hitting med students. I mean, these are people who are working for a living.
Oh, no, they're hitting everybody. Oh, Frank, listen, I got friends in Chicago. I go at least once or twice a year. It's a war zone. Some parts of that city are a war zone. But, Frank, I got to ask you something, and I know it's politically incorrect, but I'm going to ask you anyway. A lot of the cops in Chicago are telling me that they're gun-shy to go after these gangbangers because there's a race issue involved. And God forbid, if there's a white cop who ends up shooting a black teenager or a black gangbanger or there's a collateral damage or a mistake, all hell is going to break loose.
And now, Jesse Jackson doesn't help the situation. He's the first one on the news crying that this kid was, you know, we're trigger happy and that, you know, we hunted him down for no reason. I mean, I don't even tell you the higher percentage. There's always a gun involved or recovered. But yet, it's always our fault. You know, we're hunting these. And that's where all the crime is. I mean, we're out there doing our job. They want to fight us or whatever. We have to do what we have to do to get home to our family at the end of the night. That's our main goal. And, you know, we're second guess for it. We're the bad guy. It's crazy.
Hey, Frank, it is crazy. And listen, keep up the good work, buddy. I'm a big fan, big supporter of the police, big supporter of the first responders. You are the ones. It's a thin blue line between barbarism and civilization, and you guys are it. God bless you, Frank.
Okay, thank you. You have a good day.
I mean, he hit the nail right on the head. The cops are afraid to go after the gangbangers because the civil rights establishment and the liberals, the political and media liberals, are going to vilify any cop, God forbid, if there's a shooting. And so what do we have in Chicago? We have essentially betrayed and abandoned the city to gangbangers. And so now you have Rahm Deadfish Emanuel going on Scott Pelley, CBS Evening News, begging gangbangers, please, if you're going to kill each other, okay, do it on a side alley. Go ahead in the back alley, hack each other up. But leave the children alone. Leave the children alone. You honestly think they're going to listen? Do you honestly think these violent, sadistic murderers care? These bottom feeders? The drug dealers and the murderers are taking over the streets of Chicago. And yet, I have to say this, and I've said this to my friends in Chicago, and they get upset, but I'm going to have to say it. This is what happens when you have a one-party regime. It's corruption after corruption after corruption. Instead of voting the bums out and having a competitive party system where you have an alternative, instead they keep voting for the same Democratic hacks. And so after a while, I hate to say this, but you get the leadership you deserve. It's time to clean up Chicago. Send Rahm Emanuel packing. That's my advice. Alex in Virginia, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Jeff. I completely agree with you that this country is going downhill, that we are becoming a third world country with our crime, with our infrastructure, our highways. And my question to you, sir, is it unpatriotic or cowardly to want to emigrate to a different country?
It's not unpatriotic. I'm hearing a lot more people saying they want to leave. I'm hearing a lot more people saying, well, first of all, businessmen and investors are leaving already. This is the big lie of Obama. He's going on about raising taxes for the rich. The rich are leaving. The rich are going to Singapore. Hey, look, take Denise Rich. Just, I know it's a bit off topic. Denise Rich, the ex-wife of the billionaire tax cheat, Mark Rich. Okay? She was the one that gave money to President Clinton to build his library in Arkansas in exchange for pardoning this guy that Eric Holder was involved in. Okay? Big socialite. Hangs around with European monarchy and the Hollywood stars. Loaded, has more money than she knows what to do with. What has she done? She's dumped her U.S. passport. She's dumped it. She's renounced her citizenship because she doesn't want to pay taxes. All these Democrats want to raise taxes, but then they don't want to pay for it. So boom, she's now living in London. Adios, amigos. She's off to London now, and she's going to stay in London. They're going to London. They're going to Frankfurt. They're going to Tokyo. They're going to Hong Kong. They're going to Singapore. Businesses are fleeing. Now, where do we go? It's easy to say I want to move, but where do you want to go? Mexico? No. Canada? A family in Canada, they're barely treading water up there. We're basically imitating them. Where do we go? We're not rich. That's our problem. Most of us are not rich. So this is our country. And the key point is this, Alex. This is what the liberals and the Democrats don't understand. When the government does everything, we're spending more money now than we've ever spent. We have a multi-trillion dollar budget. We're spending now more than our forefathers could even have dreamed of. We're spending more now than we did throughout the entire World War II. World War II. Okay, 50 million dead. We fought all around the world, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa. We're spending more now than we did in World War II. And yet everything is collapsing. Because the more government does, the less it can do effectively. So we don't do the basics anymore. We don't take care of our roads. We don't take care of our bridges. We don't protect our streets. We don't have proper police forces. We don't have proper hospitals. We don't have proper health care. We got nothing. One lousy storm. It was pathetic. It was a scary storm. I'm not going to say it wasn't scary. But I've seen storms in Ohio. I was a graduate student at Ohio. Bad storm. Power was up in 4 hours. 1 week. 1 week after a power storm. There is, I kid you not, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If Al-Qaeda wanted to bring America to its knees, they should invest in 3 snowmaking machines. That's it. Bring them on the Beltway and start pouring snow on the Beltway. The whole city will shut down. A couple of snowflakes. It even melts when it hits the ground. Congress shuts down. The government shuts down. The schools shut down. You should see them. It's like the parting of the Red Sea. Like the Jews leaving Egypt. They're all fleeing Washington, D.C. now. Everybody's leaving because there's a couple of snowflakes. This is government. This is America. This is what made us the greatest superpower of the world. No. We've lost our way. We've become a nation of dependents and deadbeats. The government gives us food stamps, unemployment, welfare, subsidies, it's involved in everything. Space, you name it, it doesn't matter. It's involved in everything, everything. Light bulb, the kind of light bulb you can buy. There it is. Okay, look, forget the light bulbs. Okay, I don't want you to get involved in my light bulb. Can you stop us from being massacred on the streets of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel? They want to control the climate, the sky, the air that we breathe. That's how omnipotent now they think government is. Forget that. Prevent the 7-year-old little girl from getting shot in the head because she's selling candy outside her house. You just heard a cop, Frank. Ordinary guy trying to do his job. There's no manpower. We're outnumbered. We're outgunned. You mean the criminals are larger in numbers than the cops? Hey, Rahm, stop lecturing us about Obamacare. Stop trying to take care of my health care, which we can't afford, and put a couple of cops on the streets. It's really that simple. It's not more complicated. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. The lines are blazing. Bob in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff, are you sure Ron's from Chicago? Because I got a 15-year-old dachshund who's like half blind, a little lame, and he's tougher than Rahm Emanuel. For 20 years, I was an NCO. I worked with guys from Chicago. They must be ashamed of this guy.
Well, that's the thing. You see, what you're seeing now is the lie about the Chicago machine. That's the thing about these liberals. And I was explaining this to many of the producers on the show. I was just telling them I hate this city. And they say, why? Because this city is full of backstabbers. It's in a way you can't imagine. Everybody's a climber. Everybody's a careerist. Everybody's an opportunist. Let me be very candid with you. Okay, working in the media, I shouldn't divulge trade secrets, but who cares? We're on the Savage Nation. You know what Rahm Emanuel really excelled at under the Clinton administration and the first couple years of the Obama administration? He is the best political leaker I've ever seen. Gossip, leaking against his enemies in the administration, knocking off one faction, putting the knife in somebody's back. That's what he excels at. That's what he's good at. Destroying the reputations of his internal opponents in the Democratic Party so he can advance up the ladder. Those are the kinds of people that excel in Washington. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The typical Washington politician or bureaucrat is exactly like the kind of person I met when I would go behind the Iron Curtain to visit my relatives who were members of the Communist Party. They were known as apparatchiks. Think of the class weasel. Seriously, when you're in the fifth or sixth grade, think of the teacher's pet, the one who would rat or tell on the other students to ingratiate himself with the teacher. The person who wanted to be Mr. or Mrs. Popular at all costs. I've given you the typical person in Washington, D.C. That's Rahm Emanuel. I kid you not, a Chicago gangster, look at him. He's frightened. He's hiding under the table. Scott Pelley, please, I'm begging you. Scott, listen, I got a message. Don't touch the kids. Please, you want to kill each other, that's fine, but don't touch the kids. I know you have values. That may not be good values, but you have some values. Please. There, that's your vaunted Chicago machine. And Mitt Romney is having a hard time beating that? If Mitt Romney can't stand up to this, to Barack Obama and the Rahm Emanuels, how's he going to stand up to Putin? How's he going to stand up to our Islamist enemies? Obama is a joke. Rahm Emanuel is a joke. All we have to do is take him and hit him right where it hurts. And instead, I am seeing nothing but cowardice from Republicans all across the board. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You got two gangbangers, one standing next to a kid. Get away from that kid. Take your stuff to the alley. Don't touch the children of the city of Chicago. Don't get near them. And it is about values. As I said then, Scott, who raised you? Where were you raised? And I don't buy this case where people say they don't have values. They do have values. They have the wrong values. Don't come near the kids. Don't touch them.
That was Rahm Deadfish Emanuel, Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Kenny in Houston, you're on the Savage Nation, Kenny.
How you doing, Mr. Cooner? Appreciate to talk to you. It's a real honor.
My pleasure, Kenny.
Dr. Savage, he's our voice. You're his amplifier. I really hope you get your own show pretty soon.
Oh, thanks, Kenny.
As Doc is always saying, you know, wake up, America. I'm kind of nervous. It's kind of weird because my head is spinning. This kind of like rules are radical. Everything that Obama has done to this country and is doing. I'm completely terrified if he is reelected. You have Romney doing nothing. Tell me this, sir, and I was telling your radio guy, I knew we were heading this way the day. I've only been listening to Savage for about 2.5 years, and when Holder called America a nation of cowards, and he wasn't fired the next day, I knew then that something was going to happen, and you see what's happened now. So many things have been thrown at us, and what is going to happen?
Kenny, look, you've asked the $64,000 question. You've asked the question. That's what you've asked. What is going to happen to us? My prediction, you will see all of America become like Chicago. That's where we're headed. Let's not mince words. I know it's a bit depressing, but this goes back to the ancient Greeks. You want to solve a problem, you have to confront reality in the face. And that's what we have to do. And this is why I love filling in for Michael Savage, why I love the Savage Nation. It's one of the few places where you actually have genuine free speech in America. You look at Chicago, it is bankrupt. It is completely corrupt. It is rife with cronyism. It is a democratic city, a democratic stronghold. It's basically anything goes as long as you're a Democrat. And you have the criminals now that have taken over the city. And the liberal regime in Chicago is utterly powerless, utterly craven, utterly cowardly in confronting them. Now, this is what's happening to us internationally. We are headed the way of Greece. Chicago is a microcosm of America on the world stage. And Rahm Emanuel is the political brother and cousin of Barack Obama. So as he's cowering to the gangsters, Obama is cowering to the Iranians and to the Islamists. Look, let me tell you this. I met several high-profile Saudi sheiks. I'm talking, these are people with very deep pockets, with ties to the Saudi regime. You know what they told me in private? I'll tell you exactly what they told me in private. They said, we love Barack Hussein Obama. That's what they said, Barack Hussein Obama. And I said, why? And he said, because he does what we tell him to do. The Saudis are running Washington. Saudi money is pouring into this city. He is afraid to confront the Islamist threat. We have lost in Iraq. We're losing in Afghanistan. Egypt has gone to the Muslim Brotherhood. Iran is on the verge of a nuclear weapon. Putin openly scoffs at Barack Obama. And what is Obama doing? He's begging on the world stage. He grovels the way Rahm Emanuel groveled last night on Scott Pelley's CBS Evening News. Liberals are beggars. And pretty soon they'll make America a begging nation. Wake up before it's too late. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-8255. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, thank you once again, my friend, for enabling me to fill in for you tonight. I can't tell you what a privilege it is. What a wonderful show you have. And frankly, you're one of the few talk show hosts that champions my breed of conservative nationalism. And I got to tell you, buddy, keep it up. Go to michaelsavage.com for some absolutely must-read, just fantastic stories you cannot find anywhere else. And there's a story in particular I want to draw your attention to. It is from the Hill newspaper. It's on michaelsavage.com. House to debate Obamacare repeal, White House warns veto. Why is this an important story? Beginning Monday evening, the House Republicans, in response to the Supreme Court ruling upholding Obamacare, have now decided to have 5 hours of debate, which will has lasted all day today and will go on until tomorrow, where there will be a vote. The House Republicans will vote to repeal Obamacare. You would think, in theory, Jeff, isn't that a good idea? Don't you support that, Jeff? Aren't you an opponent of Obamacare? Yes, I want Obamacare repealed. The problem, however, as is obviously pointed out in the story on michaelsavage.com, is we know what's going to happen. It's going to pass the House. The Republicans will vote for it. The Democrats will oppose it. But then it will die in the Senate. And if it should somehow miraculously pass the Senate, which it will not, it will be vetoed by the White House. So this is one big waste of time. It is symbolism over substance. Rather than focusing on the issues that affect everyday Americans, rather than realistically and effectively blocking Obama's socialist agenda on other fronts that the House Republicans can do, they are now pandering. They are now obviously realizing that conservatives and many independents are furious over the ruling, furious over Obamacare, furious over government-run health care. They're saying, let's hold a symbolic vote, wink, 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 to show the American people we stand with them. Symbolically, we are arm in arm with the American people. Yet, when Obama granted amnesty to nearly 1 million illegal immigrants through executive order, where were the House Republicans? Why didn't they challenge that illegal executive order? When it comes to Eric Holder and Fast and Furious and gun smuggling to the Mexican drug cartels where American Border Patrol agents such as Brian Terry were killed, what did the House Republicans do? Ooh, they held Eric Holder in contempt of Congress. He must be shaking in his shoes. He must be quaking. When people like me said they should impeach Eric Holder. Oh, Jeff, you're being radical now. Well, easy, Jeff. Easy. Easy. In other words, it is the triumph of symbolism over substance. And you want to see a classic example of the style of symbolism over substance? Here is Mitt Romney. Now, he's supposed to be opposed to amnesty for illegal immigrants. He is supposed to be for a border fence. He is supposed to be a hawk on immigration issues. And yet, knowing that Obama was going to grant amnesty to 1 million illegal immigrants, knowing that Obama had successfully sued the state of Arizona, essentially disarming them in the face of a third world invasion from Mexico, where they're unable to protect their own borders against illegal immigrants and drug dealers and drug cartels. He goes to the National Association of Elected Latino Officials, Latino politicians, and he panders. Here is what he said in his own words. Boys, roll the clip.
We want the best and brightest to enrich the nation through the jobs and technologies they're going to create. And if you get an advanced degree here, we want you to stay here. So I'd staple a green card to the diploma of someone who gets an advanced degree in America.
Staple a green card to the diploma of anyone who gets an advanced degree in America. You're illegal or legal, I don't care. In other words, you go through school, I'm going to give you a green card. And I won't even check your immigration status, whether in fact you even have a right to be here. He's pandering. Symbolism over substance. That's the problem with the modern day Republican Party. This is what is destroying that party. And I believe what is giving Obama a decisive advantage for the last 3.5 years. And God forbid he may actually win in November because of the cowards in the Republican Party who have been afraid to expose Obama's radical agenda for what it is, a socialist revolution. They are afraid to confront the abuses of power. They are afraid to confront everything that's been wrong in this administration, all of the corruption, all of the abuse of power from top to bottom. They turned a blind eye to almost everything for the last couple of years, afraid to alienate the centrist vote, the independent vote, the suburban soccer mom vote, the Latino vote, the African American vote. They're always calibrating. And I ask myself, when did this happen? When did this obsession with symbolism with cheap political stunts like this supposed vote in the House of Representatives on Obamacare, which is going to do nothing to stop Obamacare. Nothing. Nothing. I'd rather they went on vacation for 48 hours. I swear to you, it's a better use of our taxpayer money. Hey, look, go on vacation. At least you're not in the city. When you're not in the city, I know you can't destroy the country. I feel I sleep better at night. Please go somewhere. Go to Key Biscayne. Go to Martha's Vineyard. Go to Hawaii. Go anywhere. Please just leave the city. Please, I'm begging you, leave the city. When did this political symbolism and these stunts and antics really begin? It was the Clinton years. It's what Bill Clinton excelled at. He had it, he made it, he had it down to an art form. It became a science. Especially when he was advised by there's Dick advising him every step of the way. And this is where it all began. All of the cheap stunts, the school uniforms, midnight basketball courts, all of this. And the biggest lie of them all was that Bill Clinton was fiscally responsible and balanced the budgets. All of the 1990s was a holiday from history. We were riding a tech bubble that could not last. They didn't cut spending. They didn't do with entitlements. They just had a good time in the White House. And Clinton took money from Red China. He allowed Pakistan to go nuclear. He was allowing North Korea to go nuclear. He turned a blind eye to Osama bin Laden and the gathering threat of Islamic fascism that was gathering steam all across the Middle East. And nobody cared. As they say in Louisiana, laissez les bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll, baby. And now we're left paying the bill. And that's what Republicans have now been doing for the last 15 to 20 years. It has been a phony opposition. We have a duopoly in Washington. It is the Democons and the Republicrats. And my big fear is that Mitt Romney is now walking the same road and following the same going into the same trap that John McCain did in 2008. Dr. Savage is completely right. Most of Mitt Romney's advisors are the very same advisors who were on McCain's campaign in 2008. If Mitt Romney really wants to win, he's got to fire his advisors and he's got to make this race a referendum on the economy, on Obama, and on Obamacare. And yet instead, what is Romney doing? Playing it safe. He will not attack the president in any substantial way. You know why? Because deep down, he is also part of the establishment. Deep down, he knows that Romney Care paved the way for Obamacare. And that's why he's afraid to go after Obama. He is afraid of what the liberal media are going to say about him. And the irony is that if you run a genuine conservative campaign and you expose all of Obama's lies and how he is destroying this country piece by piece, Romney could win in a landslide. And so my question to you is a very simple one. What do you make of the House Republicans arranging a vote tomorrow to repeal Obamacare? Do you believe they are engaged in style over substance? And in general, do you believe the Republicans lack the ideological conviction to stop and overturn Obamaism and the Obama socialist revolution in America? Do you trust the Republicans? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Rick in Pittsburgh, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, I think it's funny how you got these politicians such as Rahm Emanuel, President Obama himself, that are robbing the country blind, not policing the borders. You have the Muslim Brotherhood in the White House, and they're telling the American people about values. I think they're the last ones in this country that should be telling anybody about values.
Rick, you hit the nail right on the head. You're completely right. That they're lecturing us? This, to me, is you want to talk about chutzpah? You want to talk about double standards? You want to talk about brazen hypocrisy and lying? So what do we as conservatives want? What is it that middle America wants? What is it that we patriots want? It's very simple. And I don't know why, especially the Republicans in Washington, can't register this, and Mitt Romney in particular. We want the border sealed. Why? Are we racists? No. Because we know that a nation is defined by its borders. We can no longer have 20 million illegal immigrants. They're stealing our jobs. They're bankrupting our hospitals. They're bankrupting our social services. They're bankrupting our schools. We can't deal with it anymore. Why don't the Republicans, for example, pass a law saying that the official language of government is going to be English? Pass that. We're an English country, are we not? Help us preserve our culture. Why don't you push for real tax reform that cuts taxes for everybody and ends all of those corporate loopholes and take on those corporate shysters that have cut up the tax code for themselves? There's a story on michaelsavage.com right now. Obama's talking about, oh, he's got to raise taxes on the rich, raise taxes on the rich, raise taxes on the rich. Well, it's right there, michaelsavage.com. But he's not going to raise taxes on GE. General Electric, oh, those are his buddies. GE has made billions of dollars. Last year, they made out like bandits. You know how much they paid in taxes? Zero. 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 Nothing. Is Obama lecturing Jeffrey Immelt and GE about how they should be paying their taxes, their, quote, fair share? No, because they fund MS Left BC. I call it North Korean television. I swear, they're so fanatical on that station, I think in Pyongyang they must be laughing. Saying, come on, we don't even really believe this stuff. You guys seem like you really believe this stuff, this crazy communism and socialism you guys are peddling. So this is the utter hypocrisy that we live in. So here you have a mayor. Now think about this. Your city, bankrupt. It's bankrupt. In fact, I've been to Chicago. Show me a restaurant in Chicago where there are the illegal aliens are they're running the restaurant business. Every cook, everywhere I go in a Chicago restaurant, nobody speaks English anymore, except for the maitre d' or the waiters. But in the back, it's full of illegal aliens. It's a sanctuary city. Nothing from Rahm Emanuel. So he can't police the streets. He won't back the cops. He can't go after the drug dealers. He can't run his own finances. And you're lecturing us about values? Rahm, do us a favor, okay? Retire. Do us all a favor and leave. And if not, chase him out of office. Vote him out. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. talking about hypocrisy, talking about political mendacity, lying, absolute moral and ethical corruption on every level. In the last 4 to 5 days, the liberal media, led by the New York Times and CNN, have been going after Mitt Romney because supposedly he's got Swiss bank accounts, he's got accounts in Bermuda, and they're claiming that he's taken some of his investments and some of his money and he's, quote, offshored them or outsourced them. And so now the media is going after Mitt Romney, saying he's unpatriotic. God forbid he should have a Swiss bank account. It's not like liberals don't have bank accounts. Swiss bank accounts. No, no, no. It's not like George Soros, for example, doesn't have bank accounts all across the country. No, no. It's not like the Clintons don't have offshore bank accounts. No, no. It's only Mitt Romney that has offshore bank accounts. The president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, was then recently asked, what do you make of the fact of Romney's Swiss bank accounts and his accounts in Bermuda, and the fact that he will not disclose all of his tax returns going back 10, 15, 20 years? Here is what the president said in his own words. Boys, roll it.
Well, you know, I think what's important if you are running for president is that the American people know who you are, what you've done, and that you're an open book. And, you know, that's been true of every presidential candidate, dating back to Mr. Romney's father.
That you're an open book? Are you kidding me? I when I heard that clip, I'm telling you, I started rolling on the ground. I couldn't help myself. This open book coming from Obama? This is the man who's kept his health record sealed, his college record sealed, his education record sealed, his transcript sealed, his birth certificate. It's like pulling teeth to get him to show his birth certificate. This is the guy who lied about his ties to Saul Alinsky, who lied about his ties to Bill Ayers. Oh, no, Bill Ayers and I, we just sat on a few boards together. That's all. That's all. When, in fact, he started his political career by raising money in Bill Ayers' own apartment. This is the man who we have just found out, as Reverend Jeremiah Wright conceded publicly and on the record, spent not just 20 years in Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church, but as Wright himself has now admitted, Wright was his close, quote, spiritual and political advisor. As Wright said openly and on record, I helped guide his conversion from a Muslim background to black liberation theology. The same press corps that wouldn't look at his ties to Ayers or Bernadine Dorn or Jeremiah Wright or his voting record when he was a state legislator in Illinois or his record when he was a U.S. senator. All of that was airbrushed. All of that was swept under the rug. The two autobiographies he wrote, we now found out most of them contain lies. Composite characters, fiction for at least about a year when he was a college student. All of that swept under the rug. His life wasn't an open book. His past wasn't an open book. Now when it comes to Mitt Romney, have you noticed? Now every journalist in the mainstream media, all of them now they're all Bob Woodward and Ben and Carl Bernstein. Now they all want the Pulitzer Prize. Suddenly now, it's Romney's financial background. It's where he has his accounts. It's his record as governor of Massachusetts. It's his record at Bain Capital. Whether he was heading Bain Capital or not, it doesn't matter. Anything Bain Capital did now, they're interested in. It's open season. Now it's his Mormon. Suddenly his religion. Have you noticed now? Religion is important now. It wasn't under Barack Obama. But it's under, now when it comes to being a Mormon, very serious stuff now. Now the New York Times sends one of their reporters down to go to Romney's church, talk to the people he went to church with. What do Mormons believe? What did Mitt Romney say in church? What were your impressions of Mitt Romney in church? I couldn't find one reporter in 2008 who would go down to Trinity United Church. You couldn't find one. Now they're looking at his college records. They're looking even when he was in high school, whether there was an incident where apparently he supposedly bullied a teen. They're even, I kid you not, they're even looking at whether he put his dog on the roof of a car when they did family trips. Is that considered animal abuse, dog abuse? That's how much now. No stone is being left unturned when it comes to Mitt Romney. But now, according to Barack Hussein Obama, no. Everything you've done has to be looked into. Everything. You have to be an open book. But when it came to him, well, hold on now. My family's off limits. My friends are off limits. My pastor is off limits. My political associations, it's all off limits. Everything is off limits when it came to him. The lies, the double standard, the hypocrisy, it's almost becoming obvious. It's, you know, we are becoming the United Socialist States of America. We really are. We're becoming the USS of A. This reminds me of the old Soviet Union. I remember I used to go, my father defected from the Eastern Bloc. He fled with my mother, and we would often go back to visit family. And you watch this stuff on television, literally the citizens would laugh. The lies that came out of these communist leaders and their spokesmen. Just one lie after another. It's almost comedy. I'm looking at Barack Hussein Obama. Oh, your life has to be an open book. I'm laughing. You're kidding me, right? This man's brazenness, this man's deception, this man's ability to lie, and the fawning press corps that aid and abet him and advance his agenda at every turn knows no bounds. This is a man who is a wannabe dictator who will say and do anything to get reelected. And the question is, will Mitt Romney fight back? Will he take it to this man and wage a real political campaign? Or does he think in his deluded mind that he can coast to victory? Because I got news for you, Mitt. I got news for you. They're going to come after you. The Obama boys will. The liberal media will. The Democratic surrogates will. And if you don't fight back, you're going to become the next Gordon Gekko. I'm telling you, you're going to become a real-life Gordon Gekko, the character from Wall Street. You're going to be so hated, nobody's going to want to pull the lever for you. Mitt, I'm telling you, it's time to fight back. Take Michael Savage's advice. Give Donald Trump a phone call. Call him up. Call him up. Call him up right now. Because he's going to tell you what I'm telling you. Fire your advisors. And when you get hit, you hit back twice as hard. That's how you win an election campaign, Mitt. Not by jet skiing off your home in New Hampshire or letting your wife do your fighting for you. That's just me. That's just one man's opinion. Lee in North Carolina, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Well, with all due respect, the government, and this president particularly, and the government's exercise of compassionate benevolence over the affairs of the American citizens, I think that's actually more in keeping with the Constitution than moving towards a total trust and privatization, which tends to exploit the free market system. We've seen that over the past 10 years.
Okay, hold on. Lee, listen, look, you're making so many mistakes, I don't even know where to begin. First of all, when the Constitution was created, right, we had a complete free market. So if the founding fathers wanted socialism, they would have put it in the Constitution. Now, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you a very simple question. And this goes to the heart of Obama and socialism and the welfare state that he's creating. Why should I put money in your pocket? Why should I have to subsidize somebody else's health care? Why should I have to subsidize for somebody else to live off food stamps? Why should I have to subsidize somebody like my neighbor who hasn't worked in nearly 2 years because he doesn't want to get a job? Tell me, why should I put money in your pocket? And don't tell me it's compassion. It's not compassion. It's my money. I worked for it. I earned it. I break my back every day for it. Why should I put money in your pocket? Who are you that I owe you my paycheck?
Everybody respects that. I think our government, this country, we decided after the Civil War that we would have a unified concept towards how we dealt with the affairs of the nation and of
our impact. Are you talking to me about the Civil War?
Goods of the many outweigh the goods of the few. And to put it in
what goods
terms.
Of the few? What are you talking to me about? Capitalism has created the greatest wealth in the history of the world. What wealth has government created? Nothing. Who created the automobile? The private sector. Who created the airplane? The private sector. Who created computers? The private sector. I can go on and on and on. I mean, what has Obama done? He's been in power for 3.5 years. Are there more jobs now or less? There are less jobs. Is inflation up or down? It's up. Is the deficit up or down? It's up. Is the debt up or down? It's up. I don't understand this. We're at $16 trillion in debt. Our standard of living is dropping like a stone. The value of our dollar has been completely eroded. We are now at 8.2% unemployment, and you're talking to me about compassionate benevolence and the Civil War? Barack Obama is no Abraham Lincoln. And you take that to the bank. Dan in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Jeff? I'm like a caged animal right now, so bear with me.
Go.
I'd just like to send a message out to Mr. Romney. And here's the deal. Either grow some cojones or you aren't going to get my vote. I'm not going to vote for any rambling old man who says, that's good, that's okay. You know, Mr. McCain comes to mind. I mean, I am tired of wanting a future and our government stealing it from us. Every day, everything you're saying, I nearly agree with all of it. And I'm telling you, if Romney doesn't hear the message, I'm going to use my right to not vote. And that's what these guys have got to hear. Us Republicans or conservatives have got to quit going and voting for morons. Honestly, morons like McCain. I mean, are you kidding me? These guys are going to run a country? I could get the guy in a trailer next to me to do a better job.
Well, that's the point. Dan, you hit the nail on the head. I've said this before. I'd rather be run by the first 3,000 people in the Washington, D.C. phone book than I would with the current government. I'm telling you, they do a better job. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Now, what I don't understand is this. McCain said Jeremiah Wright was off limits. McCain said Bill Ayers was off limits. McCain said that Obama's past and radical associations were off limits. Okay. Fine. It's off limits. But what's Mitt Romney's excuse? We've had 3.5 years of this wannabe dictator in office. So if he can't effectively tear apart the debt, the deficit, 8.2% unemployment, Obamacare, I could keep going on, amnesty for 1 million immigrants, fast and furious, I could go on and on and on. Well, Mitt, what are you doing there? Listen, I don't need a stand-in guy to just check on the ballot box. I don't need that. I need a candidate who's going to reflect my values and stand up to this corrupt gangster regime in Washington. Instead, he's running around to the chambers of commerce. He's going around giving speeches. He's concerned about Obama. He's concerned about the direction of our country's in. No, Mitt, I'm not concerned, okay? I'm telling you I'm frightened. I'm telling you right now we're headed towards Greece, Mitt. Now, we put you in power. We put you as the head of the Republican Party to stand up to this socialist thug. If you can't stand up to this socialist thug, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, you heard it here first. You will see a third party emerge in the United States. It's happened before. In fact, if the Republicans knew their history, they know perfectly well it could happen to them because that's what they did to the Whigs. The Whigs were a huge party. And they were a part of American politics for decades. And if you said in the 1830s, oh, the Whigs will be in the dustbin of history, you'd say you're crazy. Well, 20 years later, they were gone. And on their rubble, on their ruins, emerged the Republican Party led by Abraham Lincoln. If the Republicans are not careful, if all they're going to give us is Democrat light, if all they're going to give us are these establishment moderate Republicans, these country club Republicans like John McCain, like Mitt Romney, I could keep running down the list. Well, I'm telling you that many conservatives are going to say, you know what? Enough's enough. We want our party back. We want our movement back. And we want our country back. And it starts right here on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Walter in Michigan, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation, Walter.
To you from one of the hottest places, which is my school bus for about a year. And I'll tell you what, I'm not ashamed to say, this is one black African-American person that loves listening to you. And I agree with you 100% on everything you ever said on radio.
Oh, God bless you, Walter. God bless you. What's on your mind, buddy?
I reinforce what you said about these Republicans with this wasted energy on this vote that's coming up in the House against the national health care. And like you said, it's not going to pass. I think they need to be exerting the energy anyway. I tell you what, but anyway, John Boehner, I went to a Tea Party meeting. I was the only black guy there. They meet here in Michigan, in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, Walter, I got to tell you, look, John Boehner to me is a big disappointment. If the Republicans retain the House in November, I'm telling you, Boehner needs to go. He is an embarrassment as a House Speaker. He's the one. Look, he basically told us what Romney's strategy. All Romney has to do is coast until November. The election will be a referendum on the economy and on Obama. So basically all Romney has to do is show up in November, handle himself okay in the debates, put himself on the ballot, and Boehner thinks he's going to win. I'm telling you, the country wants a viable alternative. And if Romney does not present himself as that viable alternative, if he's not a strong, compelling candidate, he's going to lose. I'm telling you, we're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Mitt, change course because there's an iceberg coming. Trust me, Mitt. Michelle in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation. I got about a minute. Go, Michelle.
Yes, Jeff. I had the pleasure of telling Lou Dobbs 6 weeks ago that the Republicans are blowing it, and they're blowing it big. Here's what the problem is. Mitt Romney talks to the American people like he's in a corporation, like they understand what's going on. We have the dumbing down of America. You have to hammer to them every day we're $16 trillion in debt. Every day the sound bites that the president says, spending our money while he's campaigning.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. He's got to educate the American public, and he's not doing it, and that's why he may lose. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We'll be right back. Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. Michael is off tonight. My buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you one last time for allowing me to fill in for you tonight. I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been, how much I enjoy doing the show, and just what an outstanding show you have. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for stories literally you cannot find anywhere else. And in particular, there is one story that has been almost completely ignored by most of the media in the United States, and it's one of the most important stories of our time. In fact, it will shock you, and you want to understand what a traitor Barack Obama is. The virulence of his anti-American agenda, and how he will go to no lengths to undermine his own country. There is a story up on michaelsavage.com. It was the top story yesterday. It's a little bit lower today. Over the weekend, President Obama invited the Islamist president of Egypt to attend the White House for a one-on-one meeting. This president of Egypt, by the name of Mohamed Morsi, is a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, he renounced his membership just before he ran for the presidency of Egypt. This man, Mohamed Morsi, is a self-avowed Islamist. He believes in the agenda and the plan of the Muslim Brotherhood. And what is that ideology? What is that plan? The Muslim Brotherhood calls for the destruction of the Jews all over the world. The Muslim Brotherhood calls for the annihilation of Israel. The Muslim Brotherhood demands that every Christian in Egypt be religiously cleansed or murdered. This very same Muslim Brotherhood, this very same Islamist president, is reaching out to Iran's president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He is part of radical Islam's march to world power. In fact, in Syria, where the Obama administration, led by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, is desperately looking to overthrow and dethrone the regime of Bashar Assad. I'm no fan of Bashar Assad. I don't care for murderous dictators. Yet the question nobody's asking is this: what comes after Bashar Assad? And the rebels that are in that country now, that are being armed, trained, and financed by Iran, by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Saudi Arabia, want to create an Islamist state. They are in bed with Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. And this Islamist, this man who calls for the destruction of Israel and the mass murder and cleansing of Christians, this man who backs Iran's Hitler, is now being literally given the welcome mat. They're going to unroll the red carpet for this man to come into the White House, roll out the red carpet. And if you want to understand who this new leader of Egypt is, I'm going to play some clips for you, and you're going to see exactly the kind of man he is. And what you can't see are the visuals. This is what's even more stunning. At a rally that officially kicked off Mohamed Morsi's presidential campaign, the person that introduced him was a prominent radical Muslim cleric by the name of Safwat Higazi. And what Higazi tells a massive throng of people, tens of thousands, waving the green Muslim flag, all of them, it eerily was reminiscent of the Nuremberg rallies under Hitler, where here you have this cleric chanting out the most obscene, sadistic lines and phrases, and the crowd chanting back and talking back in return, with almost this kind of harsh Hitlerian voice in this that this cleric is echoing, almost literally, eerily reminiscent of Hitler. And what does this cleric say as Mercy, who was then a candidate, he's now president, is literally sitting in the front row listening to him and clapping enthusiastically along with the crowd? The cleric says that Mohammed Mercy will restore, quote, the United States of the Arabs with Jerusalem as its capital. From the eyes of all Jews, come on, you lovers of martyrdom. Banish the sleep from the eyes of all Jews. Banish their sleep. Kill every one of them. And then, this is something even Hitler never said in public, this cleric yelling, chanting in Arabic. It almost sounds like a song when you hear it in the original Arabic. Says, there are 1 million martyrs that will descend upon Jerusalem, and they are ready to die. There are 1 million martyrs ready to descend upon Jerusalem, and they are ready to die. And the crowd starts chanting back. It's almost like a hypnosis, a mass collective hypnosis, and a kind of hysteria, utter hysteria being created at the prospect, at the thought of slaughtering all the Jews of Israel. This rally that we're going to play these clips right now aired on Al Nas television on May 1st, 2012, essentially a couple months ago. And I have to mention something else, because this is how craven and cowardly and frankly repulsive Obama's invitation to this Egyptian Islamist is. That very same president of Egypt, Mohammed Mursi, was recently banned from entering France to attend an Islamic conference there. France, the French, otherwise known as the surrender French. They never met an enemy they didn't surrender to. Even the French don't want this man in their country. And they're the ones with the massive Muslim population. They're the ones that in fact have to be very sensitive to the sensibilities of their Islamic minority in France. Even they say he's so radical, so extremist, such a sadistic, violent anti-Semite, we don't want him in France. Don't come to France. So he's not welcome in France, but he's welcome in Obama's White House, not just in America. They're going to roll out the red carpet for this guy. He's going to be eating on our dime. I'm sure they won't be serving pork. I'm sure there won't be any wine. There won't be any alcohol. But he's going to eat well in our White House. Here is the cleric, in his own words, Safwat Hegazi, introducing Mohammed Mursi at this presidential campaign, where he says, Allah willing, Mohammed Mursi and his supporters and his party will create the United States of the Arabs. Boys, roll clip 14. Ra'ayna.
We can see how the dream of the Islamic Caliphate is being realized, Allah willing, by Dr. Mohammed Mursi and his brothers, his supporters, and his political party. We can see how the great dream shared by us all, that the United States of the Arabs, the United States of the Arabs will be restored, Allah willing. The United States of the Arabs will be restored by this man and his supporters. The capital of the Caliphate, the capital of the United States of the Arabs, will be Jerusalem, Allah willing. Our capital shall not be Cairo, Mecca, or Medina. It shall be Jerusalem, Allah willing.
That animal is going to be brought into the White House? That butcher? And did you notice? Not only do they want to create a global caliphate, not only do they want to create the United States of the Arabs, but its capital will not be Cairo or Mecca or Medina, the birthplace of Islam, but Jerusalem. That's what they want. The cradle of Jewish civilization. That's what they want. That's who the president is inviting to the White House, to our house. My friends, everybody in the liberal media told us that the Arab Spring was a great, great event. In fact, our longtime ally for nearly 30 years, Hosni Mubarak, yes, he was a dictator. Don't get me wrong, I don't like dictators. But he was pro-American. He was pro-Western. He kept the peace with Israel. And Mubarak warned us repeatedly, if you overthrow me, if you pull the plug on me, you will not get democracy in Egypt. You will get the Muslim Brotherhood. And that's who Obama has brought to power in Egypt. And now, this man, Mohamed Morsi, is now going to be given a gala dinner in the White House come September. We have been betrayed. The people of Egypt have been betrayed. The Jews have been betrayed. And I have to say this to all Jewish Americans. Recent polls say that still 64% of the Jews in the United States who can vote plan to vote for Obama in 2012. Have you no shame? Your ancestors, your relatives, your cousins living in Israel, the memory of the Holocaust, and this man in the White House, look at the crowd that he runs with, and you don't have the honor, you don't have the self-respect, you don't have the integrity to vote against this man. The radical Muslims in Egypt, in Iran, in Libya, all around the world, are now sharpening their knives to slit the throats of the Jews. And my question to you is a simple one, members of the Savage Nation. Do you believe it is appropriate for the President of the United States to invite and welcome the Islamist President of Egypt into the White House? Are you offended? And should the Republicans speak out? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. John in New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I think that Obama has an obligation to see the president of Egypt. I think that it shouldn't be offensive to Jewish Republicans because he's already showed his demonstration to keep the qualified military edge that keeps Israel stronger. But he's also come out and said that he will have military action against any country that attacks Israel. And his obligation is because he is a head of state. He has an obligation to talk to other heads of state. And I think that if he chose to...
Hold on. He hasn't invited the president of Iran to the White House. He hasn't invited the president of North Korea to the White House.
Right, because they're actually considered enemies. And Egypt has historically, because of Mubarak, been considered an ally of the U.S. And by taking
But this guy is not an ally. This guy is an enemy. This guy is an avowed enemy of America and of Israel and of the West.
But Morsi has not come out and said that he wants to do any damage to America, and refusing to see him would only worsen our image in those areas where it's already been harmed by our lack of
action. Morsi has openly said that he wants American influence kicked out of the region, and he refers to us regularly as the Great Satan. So let me ask you this, John. If he's referring to us as the Great Satan, if he's part of a terrorist organization, the Muslim Brotherhood, If he says he wants to tear up the treaty with Israel, if he supports Hamas, if he supports terrorists all over the Middle East, how is he our ally and friend? Okay, why do we have an obligation to meet this guy?
Well, he is a head of state, and we don't want to make it worse than it already is by making a purely political dismissal. But second of all, the Muslim
Brotherhood... What do you mean purely political? This is moral. This is strategic. How is the Muslim Brotherhood our friend? Let me ask you this. Tell me, how is the Muslim Brotherhood an ally of the United States?
I guess the question can be turned around and said, how is the United States an ally of the Muslim Brotherhood?
Why should we be their allies? They want to destroy us. They want to destroy... They want to wipe out all Christians in Egypt. They want to destroy the Jews, and they want to create a global caliphate. They want us to be submissive to radical global Islam. So you ask me, why should we be their ally?
The quote you played didn't actually say they wanted to destroy the Jews. They simply said they wanted their land back.
Oh, and what do you think they're going to do with the Jews in Israel? You think they're just going to treat them very nice? They're going to have a full minority rights? They're going to be like Jews in America? John, this is the problem with liberals like you. You are blind to reality like in the 1930s. And another Holocaust will happen unless everybody wakes up. Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Here is the Egyptian cleric, Safwat Hegazi, at the presidential campaign rally that launched Mohamed Morsi's victory in Egypt. Morsi is now the president of Egypt. He will be visiting the White House in September for a one-on-one discussion with President Obama. They are going to roll out the red carpet, roll out the welcome mat. Listen to the fanaticism. Listen to the rabid anti-Semitism. And listen to the hysteria and the response from the crowd. This was on May 1st, several months ago. Morsi is sitting in the front row, clapping, cheering. The crowd is literally hysterical, full of euphoria. They want a war with Israel. And this guy, this cleric, Safwat Hegazi, is urging them, a million martyrs march toward Jerusalem. Boys, roll clip 16.
Our capital shall not be Cairo, Mecca, or Medina. It shall be Jerusalem, Allah willing. Our cry shall be, millions of martyrs march towards Jerusalem. Millions of martyrs march toward Jerusalem.
The crowd is saying in response, millions of martyrs march toward Jerusalem. Now, we had to cut this clip, but it goes on. They keep saying it. It's literally, it's like the Nuremberg rallies. You know, they're doing the Sieg Heil, the Nazi salute symbol. They can't stop. The crowd cannot stop. They go on for at least a minute. Millions of martyrs march toward Jerusalem. And then there's a man on the stage. He's also part of the ceremony. He's a leader of the ceremony, and he's a singer. And so after this cleric is now whipping the crowd up, the United States of the Arabs. Jerusalem will be our capital. Millions of martyrs march toward Jerusalem. Look at what this man says. This is what the singer is singing to the crowd. Boys, roll clip 17.
Banish the sleep from the eyes of all Jews. Come on, you lovers of martyrdom, you are all Hamas. From the eyes of all Jews. Come on, you lovers of martyrdom, you are all Hamas. Banish the sleep from the eyes of all Jews. Come on, you lovers of martyrdom, you are all Hamas. Forget about the whole world, forget about all the conferences. Brandish your weapons, say your prayers. Brandish your weapons, say your prayers. And pray to the Lord from the eyes of all Jews. come on, you lovers of martyrdom.
This is what we're bringing to the White House? Hamas has explicitly said its goal is to exterminate and destroy the Jewish state. He is talking about weapons. Brandish your weapons. Forget all those peace conferences. They're lying to us. They don't want peace. They never wanted peace. It's like Hitler. They want global domination. They want a global caliphate. And when they're amongst themselves and they don't think a Western camera is there, as was clearly the case here, it was on Egyptian television, then they reveal their true colors. Then they show themselves for who they really are and what their real intentions are. So after this singer finishes his little song and dance routine and the crowd is now really whipped up, now the cleric, the Egyptian cleric, Safwat Haghazi, jumps in now. He's got to finish with a crescendo. At this point, Mohammed Mursi is almost delirious with joy at what he's hearing. You have to see the video with this. It's unbelievable. It's chilling. Here is Safwat Haghazi saying, Jerusalem is ours. Boys, roll clip 18.
Martyrdom are Hamas. I say from this podium, from the heart of the Delta, the heart of Egypt, so that the whole world may hear. We say it loud and clear. Yes, Jerusalem is our goal. We shall pray in Jerusalem, or else we shall die as martyrs on its threshold. Millions of martyrs march toward Jerusalem. Millions of martyrs march toward Jerusalem.
Very moderate. Oh, you can see it even in the tone. Very moderate. It's all peace. It's peace. It's peace. What you heard now is peace. They want peace. That's all. They're just a little frustrated. They're just blowing off a little steam. Nothing to see here. Nothing to hear here. Here is what I don't get. And I'm speaking very candidly and maybe politically incorrectly, but I have to say it. I know where Republican Jews stand on this issue. I know where conservative Jews stand on this issue. I know where most Christians stand on this issue. I know where most Americans stand on this issue. But for the life of me, the Jewish Democrats, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz of this world, the 64% of Jewish Americans who say they will vote for Obama in November, you mean to tell me you can support a president of the United States who is going to toast and roll out the welcome mat in our White House to somebody like this, who sings these songs, who chants these phrases, who espouses this anti-Semitic, vile, fascist ideology? Have you forgotten the Holocaust already? Are you so politically opportunistic? Are you so ideologically blind? Are you so morally corrupt that you would even sell your fellow Jews down the river to support this con man in the White House? Shame on you. Shame on you. And so the question I have to ask members of the Savage Nation is very simple. Do you feel stabbed in the back? Do you feel, are you offended that our president is inviting Mohammed Mursi, the Islamist president of Egypt, to the White House? 1-800-449-8255. James in New York, thanks for patiently holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I'm not even Jewish, and I feel more stabbed in the back than they even do. For him to turn his back on a nation that's been our ally for decades is not only atrocious, it's absolutely disgusting.
James, he sold the people of Egypt, and he sold our ally, Hosni Mubarak, down the river. And what many Americans don't understand, we're lucky. We are blessed by the Lord to be on a continent protected by two oceans. But our friends and allies around the world, they look at this. I'll tell you what they're saying. I know because they're telling me. Oh, that's how you Americans are. When it's convenient, you cut your allies loose. You sell us down the river. You did it to our friends in Iraq. You did it to our friends in Afghanistan. You did it to our allies in Vietnam 30 years ago. And now you did it openly and publicly and nakedly with Hosni Mubarak.
Exactly.
Now, look, no, Roy, listen, look, James, sorry, Roy, look, I'm going to be very candid with you. I love America. I am an America first nationalist, and I will die an America first nationalist. But I'm not going to lie to you and the American people. If I'm an Egyptian, if I'm an Iraqi, if I'm a Pole, after what Obama did to the Poles and the Czechs on missile defense, I wouldn't trust America. God forgive me for saying this, but I have to be candid. I mean, look at the record. Look at this. So if I'm some poor Christian schmuck, or I'm some poor moderate pro-American Egyptian in Egypt, am I going to stick my neck out and oppose this guy? No way. I'd be a fool. I'd be crazy to oppose this president with Obama in the White House. When you are the world superpower, the eyes of the world look upon you. And I learned this from my grandfather. My grandfather was a strong, tough man. He was a peasant from Croatia, which was the former Yugoslavia. And he told me this because he suffered in a Nazi concentration camp. It wasn't just Jews that went to the camps. It was many Catholics and many Democrats, like my granddad. And he said when he heard in late 1949, that America was going to enter World War II, he wept. He cried in prison because he said, finally, we shall be free. One day, I don't know when, but we shall be free because now America is coming into the war. My friends, that's what the United States has meant to me and my family, and I can tell you to hundreds of millions of people around the world. That's why I say it proudly, unashamedly, and unequivocally. And I don't care what anybody says or thinks. This man in the White House does not deserve the honor of being president of the United States. And this invitation is a stain upon this nation. And while the Republicans are playing political games, repeal Obamacare, which we know is not going to be repealed, why aren't they speaking out against this visit? Where is the Republicans? Where's Mitt Romney? Where's John Boehner? Where's Mitch McConnell? Where's Eric Cantor? Why aren't they speaking out and saying, shame on you, Mr. President? No, they're too busy playing fun and games on the Potomac in Disneyland. They're too busy thinking about their summer vacations. They got to go yachting. They got to go golfing. That's more important now. Let's do a little phony vote and then head off. That's the way the game is played. 1-800-449-8255. Roy in Alabama, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
I feel angry and offended. And they're going to roll out the red carpet for this anti-Christ maniac. When Benjamin Netanyahu came to the White House, he was given a cold shoulder. The president and his wife went out for dinner and left him at the White House. And they're going to give this guy this kind of treatment? This is ridiculous. If I was Israel, and the Republicans need a leader. They need somebody to stand up because this is really getting scary. You know, if we're going to turn out, it seems like we're turning our backs on Israel. And that does not look good for the
United States. We are. Roy, I'm telling you right now, we are. This president has sold Israel down the river. He has stabbed him in the back multiple times. And it wasn't just that the president left with the first lady for dinner and left Netanyahu. It was even worse. They sent him outside the White House through the door in the back where the trash is picked up. I kid you not. He's like a garbage man. They sent him out in the back where they collect the garbage. That's how they treated Netanyahu. Listen, I kid you not. I wouldn't treat my in-laws the way Obama's treated Netanyahu. I mean, I don't know what to say. Some in-laws, I mean, can't even stand my in-laws. No, I don't want you to go out through the back where the trash is. Literally in the back of my house, that's where I put the trash. No, go out through the front door. If you come over for dinner, you're going to eat at my table. But this guy, he won't eat with Benjamin Netanyahu. He won't break bread with Benjamin Netanyahu. He won't have lunch. He won't have dinner. And then when it's time for him to leave, he can't even go through the front door to humiliate him. Just to humiliate him. No, no, you go through the back. You go through the back. Him and the Dalai Lama. Same thing, because he doesn't want to offend China. So he calls in this peace-loving monk. What did this monk ever do to anybody? The Dalai Lama, he's a pacifist. Tibet is being... there's a cultural genocide being placed on Tibet. The Chinese are hammering Tibet, left, right, and center. The Tibetans are fleeing. The place is being literally ethnically cleansed. And the Dalai Lama comes to the White House, and not to offend the communist Chinese, you go out through the back, right through the back. Don't wash the garbage. We haven't picked it up in a few days. You may want to hold your nose. It's a little smelly back there. This is what our this the president? This is the president of the United States of America? It's a joke. The guy's literally, the presidency's become a joke. To me, it's Barack in the White House. Comedy Central. That's what it is. Jeff in Pittsburgh, very quickly. Go, baby.
Man, I am so appalled, disgusted, embarrassed, and as an American that this president is hosting somebody like that in the White House. Goodbye. Thank you.
But thank you, Jeff. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nations. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times. Sitting in for Michael Savage. If you want to read my columns at the Washington Times, go to WashingtonTimes.com, punch in my last name, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R. Believe me, you can read all of my columns. Steve in Florida, thank you for patiently holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I want to thank you and thank Michael Savage for pulling back the veil on what's actually happening around the country. As an independent Yehud who voted for Obama the first time, and I just want to say, you know, you made the operative statement, shame on him. He fooled us once, but shame on us if he fools us again. And it's really on us. So, you know, these are who these people are. It doesn't matter who's in charge. If we allow him to just go further down the path, then you're right. Then we haven't learned anything from the Holocaust or any of these other lessons in history. So God bless you all.
Thank you, Steve. No, look, the saying, it's accurate. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. If Obama wins another term, I'm sorry, America, it'll be shame on us. We know who he is. We know what he is. We know what he's doing. We even know why he's doing it. Why would you possibly want to reelect him? And if we do, then frankly, we deserve it. There's nothing else to say. Kathy in Tucson, Arizona, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeffrey Cooner, I am so happy to be talking to you. You are my absolute favorite.
Oh, thank you, Kathy.
But you're welcome. But I am so heartbroken as to what is happening to our country. I cannot believe people do not see what is happening. And, you know, my thing is the older people, like my mother, they are going to vote for Obama. How can they have lived in this country as long as they've lived here and not see what is happening? I'm devastated as what he's doing. I don't understand it.
Well, Kathy, I have to say, in defense of your mom, I don't know your mom. I never met your mom, but I know what you're talking about because I meet a lot of elderly people from my friends and family members. They're going to vote Obama. It's blind party loyalty. They don't see the thing, Kathy, is this. You follow current events. See, people don't understand. The Savage Nation has roughly 10 million listeners a week. We're in a country of 313 million people. Now, it's a massive audience. Yes, it's 10 million. It's potentially an army. But in a country of 313 million, you're a small minority. So very few people are actually publicly and civically engaged. They want to know about the issues. They want to know about current events. They want to find out what's going on beneath the surface. Now, You look at people who, my business, newspapers, even less. The USA Today and the Wall Street Journal are the two highest circulation newspapers in the country. People think it's the New York Times. It's not the New York Times. They barely have a circulation of 1 million. 1 million out of 313 million. So what I'm saying is that most people, and it's not even a bad habit, I can't really criticize it. They got to take the kids to school. They got to go to work. They got to go to soccer practice. They don't pay attention. The problem is when you don't pay attention, you get the Hitlers. You get the Stalins. You get the Barack Obamas. And that's why come November, tell your friends, tell your cousins, tell your relatives, tell your colleagues at work, vote this bum out of office. Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage.
Savage.